reading this morning, Luke 8 and verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked the disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Amen. This is God's word this morning. Let's just pray for a moment. Loving God, as we turn to your word, we turn to words that many of us are familiar with, right from our Sunday school days through. For many of us, Lord, we've read these words again and again, and have no doubt heard them preached on several occasions before. We pray this morning, Father God, as we come to your word, that you would help us to be alive and alert and awake. We pray that you would help us to focus in and to be reminded of great truths of old. And dare we ask, Lord, that you teach us things anew that we might have missed before. Lord, we yearn to learn more of you. And so we pray this morning that you would encourage our heart as we read these words together and think on them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We came home from Rebecca's graduation a week past Monday to flash floods across Stirling. We had missed most of this, having been in Glasgow for the day. As we drove into Stirling down our usual route, we very quickly saw the police blocking one of the roads, so we had to take a bit of a detour right through Brayhead, down Spring Cairse, into Riverside, and then up back onto the roundabout to come over Stirling Bridge, thinking, that's okay, one little bit of a problem at the Craigs roundabout, everything's okay. Well, we came over Stirling Bridge, and then there's a fire engine sitting in front of the road. Guess we're not going up Causeway Head Road then. So we turned onto Cornton Road, and very quickly at the scrapyard, what do we see? A big puddle of water right across, and I'm thinking, we could get through that, but we've still got the railway line to come, and there's problems there. So we spun the car around through the wrap lock onto the motorway, up to Keir Roundabout, down through Bridge of Allen. That's us. We're heading home, turned on to Easter Cornton Road, and it was a sea of water. Fortunately, very carefully, gingerly, we drove the car and we got home. Scary storm that had hit. And looking at the pictures, we saw that the fire brigade were actually at the bridge there for the rugby club. They were in their boats rescuing people who were stranded in the rugby club. People to the rescue. We love heroes, don't we? People that come to our rescue, particularly when it's a superhero. Someone who comes riding in to save the day, whether it's Superman or simply your husband, I don't know, but there's always a superhero around, isn't there? I'm seeing a few wives looking around going, really? I always remember the Batman movies, and just to show my age, in the late 80s, they began to remake some of the Batman movies. And the first one was with a guy called Michael Keating as the actor. He was the Caped Crusader in 1989. And there's a scene where he had gotten hold of some muggers, and these muggers had taken all of the money out of the helpless people. And Batman's standing there, and he's shaking them upside down to get all the money out of their pockets. And then he takes one of the robbers, and he hangs him over the ledge of the roof. And he says to him, well, the man starts saying to him first, he says, "Don't kill me, man, don't kill me." And Batman says, "I'm not going to kill you, but I want you to do something for me. I want you to go back to all your friends, and I want you to tell them who I am." And the robber cries out, "But who are you, man?" And the reply is, "I'm Batman." Well, you understand that in those circumstances, the questions are designed to focus you on the one who is the hero and the solution to the problem. And that's exactly what happens in the passage before us this morning. Not just a superhero. We're here talking about the Savior of the world. The question that's asked at the end of the passage is designed to focus us on the person and the power of the one who is the solution to the problem. And the question is, who is this? Who is this? Luke is keen for us to see who Jesus is. He's investigating Jesus, after all, for his friend Theophilus. And today we start a section of Luke's gospel where he shares four miracles in which we see the power of Jesus on display: authority over nature, over demons, over disease, and over death. And in this first miracle, we have the disciples in a boat and Jesus calming the storm. We might look at this and speak of a crisis, a cry, and a command. Yet today I want us to look clearly at Jesus as we answer that question: who is this? Jesus challenges the disciples' faith right here in this incident. He wants them to clearly see who he is, to know him more deeply, and to follow him more closely. The story about the storm on the Sea of Galilee teaches us some lessons about who this is and about following Jesus. And we're going to consider four things that come from the four verses. So let's just take them one at a time. Firstly, Jesus knows where he is going. So let's make sure that we go with him. He knows where he is going. So let's make sure that we are following along. Verse 22, one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. Luke doesn't tell us clearly when this happened, but it follows the teaching Jesus has given on the parable of the sower. In Mark's gospel, Mark states that it's on the evening of that same day as he shared the parable that they got into the boat. And it's been a long day, but a good and productive day. Jesus has been busy teaching the crowds. He will no doubt be tired, which is important in a moment. And he wants to get away from the crowds for a bit. And also, as we'll discover next week, he wants to get to a man who needs his help. Jesus knows where he's going. Let's go over to the other side. Did he know what he was getting them into? Surely he did. He knows all things, and so he knew they would encounter this storm. Although the disciples were veteran fishermen, some of them, who knew this lake, they probably didn't anticipate the storm. The Sea of Galilee is about 13 miles long, 7 miles wide. It sits in a depression that's about 700 feet below sea level. And it's surrounded by mountains. Mountains that rise to about 2,000 feet above sea level on the eastern side. And when winds begin to blow, they funnel down those hills and they create sudden, violent storms on the water. And it was one of those violent, unexpected storms that hit that evening, unexpected to the disciples, but not to the Lord Jesus. It must have been quite a storm because even these seasoned fishermen feared for their lives. But even though it was so terrible, the sovereign Lord led them right into it. You know, when serious trials hit, I often hear people say, "The Lord didn't cause this. Maybe he allowed it." Somehow they think they're getting God off the hook by that. Sometimes they'll even say Satan, not God, caused this tragedy. They think that by blaming Satan or by saying that God only allowed it, that they preserve his love. But they do so at the expense of his sovereignty. The Bible clearly affirms that God is both loving and sovereign. True, God may use Satan to bring trials, as he did in the case of Job. We're all very familiar with Job's story and the trials that came upon him. But God also clearly states in Isaiah 45 and verse 6 and into 7, and it says, "I am the Lord and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things." You will find comfort in trials, friends, only if you affirm both God's absolute sovereignty as well as his unfailing love. Jesus is in control here. He knows where he is going, and he invites the disciples to go along with him. They don't know what lies in front of them, but they enter into the boat with the words of Jesus ringing in their ears. "Let's go over to the other side." There's a destination in place. There's a plan. These men were in the very will of God. They had obeyed his command. They were simply doing what Jesus has asked them to do. They didn't know the storm was coming or what they would face, but they followed Jesus. And friends, that is so important for us to learn. Jesus calls us to follow him. We don't often know exactly where that will take us, but we do know our ultimate destination. In the end, Jesus is taking us home to be with him forever. Heaven, we are heaven bound. But the journey there might take us to a few interesting places. We may face a few storms along the way. The challenge and the encouragement for us is to keep following, to believe Jesus and to trust he will see us through. The disciples knew his word. Let's go over to the other side. Not stop in the middle, not drown in the middle. But they did not believe when they faced this life test. It's easy to learn the truth, but it's quite something else to live it out. When we were called into ministry, we had no idea where it would take us. We certainly didn't think we'd end up in Cornton halfway through my studies with the added pressure and busyness that that brought of pastoring a church and studying at the same time. We didn't know what length of time we'd be here. Some of you are going, by jingo. Neither did we. Or we might not know. With all its joys, and with one or two of the storms along the way as well, we didn't know. But being in the center of God's will with Jesus is all we need. He is in control. Friends, Jesus knows where he is going. So make sure that you go with him. Not only that, we discover in the next verse that Jesus rests during the storm. And so there's the encouragement for us to rest with him. Verse 23 says that as they sailed, he fell asleep. Do you know this is the only time we read of in the scriptures that Jesus is sleeping? What a time to fall asleep. As they set sail on this journey across the water, Jesus nods off. He's tired. He's just been teaching all day, and that's hard work. I have to tell you that I am more tired on a Sunday night than I am on any other day of the week. Some of you say it's because it's the only day you work. That's not what I'm thinking. I can spend a long and heavy day in the garden cutting and pruning and weeding and digging, and it's nothing in comparison to a Sunday having preached. The mental strain, the emotional strain, the spiritual strain, the physical strain is exhausting. And that's only 2 30-minute sermons. See, last year when I was in Tenerife preaching at the conference, I had 3 40-minute messages to deliver every day for 4 consecutive days. See, at the end of that, I was done in, absolutely exhausted. And so Jesus, having stood there all day teaching, must be tired. And he's taught and he's performed miracles. And he did it with very little rest. And you can be certain that wherever Jesus was, there was always somebody around, a question and answer session going on. And it is hard. And so Jesus wants to rest. It's been a long and an exhausting day teaching massive crowds who were literally draining him of his human strength. And so that's one of the reasons I think he got into that boat. We'll get a bit of rest, a bit of peace. We'll get away from the crowd for a little bit of time. Maybe he was hoping he'd shake them off altogether. Some hope of that, as we'll discover at another point in time. He's weary. This is the very human Jesus. Aphupno is the Greek word used there. He fell asleep. It's the only time in the New Testament that word is used, and it's an unusual word that speaks of a sound sleep, a deep sleep. And it's the only place in Scripture where we find Jesus slept, but he did. I mean, he went to bed like any human being does. And here it tells us he was weary and he slept. It was a sleep of weariness. It was a sleep of exhaustion. And he just went to sleep in the boat. Mark says there was a pillow there and he just popped his head in the pillow. And that was the end of it. Jesus lays his head down and he falls asleep. He is tired and he's weary. He's exhausted physically and mentally. And so he's peacefully sleeping, even though he knew what was coming. He knew a storm was coming. He knew, but he had no concern. It was a sleep of fearlessness. It was a sleep of trust. It was a sleep of sovereignty. It was a sleep of omnipotence. He knew he could awaken at any moment and stop the storm. And so you've got this lovely picture of the divine and the human Jesus, who is in full awareness that a storm is coming because it's ordained by God, and yet so human that he falls asleep as they sail along on the water. Some of you are tired, you're weary, and you're exhausted, and you are done in. You're going all the time, and you're wondering if it's ever going to stop. I want to tell you that your Savior knows what it's like to be tired, really tired. He's been touched with the feelings of your infirmities and your weaknesses. He's embraced that because he loves you, and he knows exactly what it feels like to be tired. And so he rests, and we need to learn to rest. We need to learn to trust in him and rest, to know we're safe with him, and to rest, to know that he knows what lies next, even the storm that's coming, and to rest secure in him in that moment. Jesus rests during the storm. Let's make sure that we rest with him. And we can do that because of the encouragement that comes next. Jesus answers when asked. So actually, ask him. Ask him. A storm comes from nowhere, and it's so bad the disciples panic. Verse 23, it says, a squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. And the disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. Without warning, a storm's just come up on the lake. The winds blew fiercely, whipping the water into mountainous waves. And the words used here literally mean a violent wind, a hurricane force wind, a very strong, tempestuous wind. This is fierce gusts that cause the waves to rise and the water to flood over the edge of the boat. And the boat and its passengers were in serious danger. The seasoned sailors on board understood the threat even better than the rest. And listen, they were scared as well. No doubt they did everything to secure the ship, to attempt to weather the storm. The boat was being swamped by the waves which swept over the bow. Jesus was at the rear of the boat, as Mark tells us, where it was least affected. The violent up and down motion of the boat was more pronounced at the bow of the boat and least at the stern. So too with the water which swept over the bow. And the disciples were scared to death. And Jesus slept. With some irritation, they must have noticed his peaceful repose. How could he be so peaceful? How could he sleep? Why was he not even aware of their danger? Didn't he care? We're only told that the disciples went and they woke him. But I would imagine that they were not as gentle as that maybe sounds to us as they tried to rouse the Lord from his sleep. The words recorded in the other Gospels are slightly different, but they have all been words that will have been spoken. When you're afraid and you need help, a group of people will all shout and they'll all ask different but very similar things. They will use different words, but the basic request is always the same. Right in the middle of them, it's a very simple, help, help, help. I was almost into my Penelope pit stop there for those of that age as well. Help, help. Anyway, why do you knock yourself off in the middle of a sermon, by the way? Never understand that. Here in Luke chapter 8, the words are, Master, Master, we're going to drown. In Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 8, it's, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. Mark 4, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? The message is the same though. Help us, we're drowning. And the disciples are panicking. They fear that they're going to drown and they're going to die. But wait a minute, who was on board with them? God's promised Messiah. To think that God's long-awaited messianic kingdom could sink to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee in that moment was absurd. But in their panic, in their fear, in their worry, in their panic, the disciples had a distorted view of the problem. Not all fear is wrong, friends, but Jesus rebuked the disciples because their fear was excessive. Some fear is useful because it leads us to prudent caution for our own safety. Sometimes fear makes us spring into immediate action to save our own lives or the lives of a loved one around us who's in danger. But fear is excessive and it's wrong when it causes us to panic so that we're not thinking carefully in light of God's promises. If we are so focused on the problem that we cannot see God's control over it, then we're not trusting in Him. Friends, we're called to fix our eyes on Jesus. We're called to keep our trust in Him. The Bible is full of verses where we're called not to be afraid. Somebody reckoned there are 365 of them, so you've got one for every day of the year. I've not counted them to check and see. But there's certainly a lot of do not be afraids right in there in Scripture. I remember a story from D.L. Moody. A lady approached him and said, "I found a verse to help me conquer my fear." She says, Psalm 56, verse 3, where it says, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you." Moody, sharp as a tack, knowing his scriptures inside and out, replied, "I'll give you an even better one." And it's found in Isaiah 12 and 2. It says, "I will trust and not be afraid." I will trust and not be afraid. The storm is going on here. Jesus is sleeping. The disciples come and they wake him. A storm doesn't wake him up, but the cries of his frightened, needy disciples immediately arouse him to their aid. And I don't want you ever to forget that here, friends. A storm is of no consequence to our Savior. He sleeps right through it. But the minute you're weak and you're fretting and your faithless voice cries out to Him, He is instantly at your side. You see what that tells you about His readiness to hear and to answer your prayers. The storm doesn't bother Him, but the cries of His people awaken Him to your help. Jesus answers when we ask. And look what He does, verse 24. "He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm." He showed His power. He showed His power over nature. He stopped the wind. He stilled the waters. He brought calm to the situation. And friends, whatever storms come your way, don't try and face them alone. You don't need to. Jesus is here. Cry out to Him. Lean on Him. Trust Him. Ask Him. Ask Him. You know, one of my favorite verses in Scripture is Ephesians 3 and 20. And I often pray it. I often use it as a benediction, a closing prayer at the end of meetings we're at as well. And it says there, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory." And for years, I concentrated on the kind of immeasurable, on how great our God is. And I overlooked a key phrase in there. He is able to do what? Immeasurably. Immeasurably what? Immeasurably more than what? All we ask. Ask. Why is it we seem to be so reluctant to ask God for help? Why is it we seem to be so reluctant to ask God to enter into our situation and to stand with us? Why is it we are so reluctant to ask God to come and to set our fears and to calm us down? Why is it we are so reluctant to look to Him and ask Him? We try everything else. Everything humanly possible sometimes. Jesus is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask. So it's time for us to ask Jesus, to ask Him. Jesus answers when asked, so ask Him. After stilling the storm, Jesus immediately asks a question of His disciples. Verse 25, "Where is your faith?" He asked His disciples. And in fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey Him." Jesus wants us to have faith in Him. And so, friends, it's time simply for us to trust Him. To trust Him. Now, understand what Jesus is not doing here. He's not rebuking them for being frightened in the midst of a life-threatening situation. These men could have died. It would have been very easy for this boat to capsize and for them to sink to the very bottom. But what Jesus is asking them to consider is if they have adequately understood who it is who is with them in the boat, and if they have factored that reality into their life-threatening situation, and if they have put their faith in Him adequately for the living of the Christian life. Where is your faith? Is it in me? If it is, I am right here. I didn't go anywhere. I was right there with you. Where is your faith? He was drawing attention not just to the size of their faith, certainly to the importance of their faith in responding to the situation, but he's especially trying to draw their attention to the object of their faith. Do you trust in me? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I'm able to do? And he's just showing them what he could do. He calmed the storm. He stilled the waters. The disciples made a profound discovery. The Lord was master of their lives. He not only had power over death and disease and despair, but he had power over the storms in their lives. They had witnessed his hand at work in the lives of others, but now they've received his touch themselves. Who is this? Who is this? No doubt these men never forgot that day. Jesus revealed himself as one who had absolute power and authority. Their faith in him was confirmed even more. When storms come our way, we need to see the person of Jesus. He's the one we need to recognize. I rejoice for those times that I've been allowed to catch a glimpse of who he is. J.C. Ryle said, "What do you see in our Lord's behavior towards these disciples all through his ministry? You see nothing but unchanging pity, compassion, kindness, gentleness, patience, long-suffering, and love. He does not cast them off with their stupidity. He does not reject them for their unbelief. He does not dismiss them ever for their cowardice. He teaches them as they are able to bear. He leads them step by step as a mother does an infant when it first begins to walk. He sends them kind messages as soon as he has risen from the dead. He restores Peter to his place and bids him feed his sheep." I am so glad that that is how Jesus still treats me today. In the midst of my fear, in the midst of my unbelief, in the midst of my stupidity and my cowardice at times as well, when I am afraid and cry out in fear, he calms the storm. And he gently says, "Where is your faith?" He longs for me to trust him. He wants me to look to him always. He wants me to stop trying to do things on my own. He wants me to see him and to trust him and to follow him. He longs for me, quite simply, to go with him, to rest with him, to ask him, and to trust him. The disciples received all of this with fear and amazement, we read, with awe and wonder, we might say. They asked, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Who is this? It's a critical question. It was a critical question for the disciples. It's a critical question for Theophilus, who Luke is writing to. And listen, it is a critical question for each of us today. Who is this? And Luke doesn't answer. He doesn't need to. Who then is this that controls the winds and the waves? The answer, God. Jesus is God incarnate. Friends, who is this? He is Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. He is God, creator and sustainer of all things. He is Lord, master over nature, demons, disease, death, as we will see. He is the one who can calm the storms in our lives if we will let him. He is our God. And you know, friends, we will face storms and we will face struggles in this life. Being a Christian does not make us immune to trouble, but Jesus has the power to conquer all things, and he is with us every step of the way. He is with us always. What is there to fear in your life if Jesus is in the boat? Absolutely nothing. Four simple things to take home this morning then. Jesus knows where he is going. Make sure you go with him. Jesus rests during the storm. Make sure you rest with him. Jesus answers when he is asked, so don't keep those things to yourself and struggle on your own. Ask him. And Jesus wants us to have faith in him. Friends, will you trust him today? Really, truly trust him with everything that comes in your life. Let's pray together. Loving God, we want to thank you for your incredible word. We want to thank you for this short story that just contains so much within it. We pray, Father God, that you would help us not to be like the disciples, running around in fear, but that you would help us to trust in you. Lord, would you help us to recognize where you are going and to go with you, to walk hand in hand by your side as you hold us in that righteous right hand of yours. Lord, would you help us to rest even during the storms of life and those difficult moments when fear and uncertainty is there. Lord, would you help us to rest in you, to know that you are there, to know that you are with us, to know that you are by our side, to know that whatever the storm may be, that you are able to calm it and to still it and to see us through it. Lord, would you answer us when we ask? Would you help us to ask you, Lord? Would you help us not to run away on our own and try and do our own things? Would you forgive us for those times when we've done that, Lord, for those times when we still do that today? And would you help us to look to you? Father God, we thank you that you want us to have trust. You want us to have faith in you. And I pray, Father God, that you would help us today to deepen our faith in you, to deepen our understanding of you. Lord, would you help us to walk with you always, to look to you above everything else? We thank you that you are our God. And we thank you that you walk with us through all the storms of life and that you bring peace. Lord, bring peace to our souls this morning that we might be able to say, it is well with my soul. Hear our prayer. Continue with us, we ask, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.